Welcome, friends, to Inspirational Truths, a time for exploring truths from God's timeless book. My name is Todd Price. I believe that song and the message for today will be a blessing to each of you. So with that in mind, it is my privilege to introduce to you the founder of Inspirational Truths, my father, Tom Price.
Well, greetings, friends. My name is Tom Price, and I'm always happy to say it's Inspirational Truth time once again, and I greet you. The blessed name of Christ, my Savior, and all want Him to be yours. He can be yours. He came to be yours. The Bible said, Luke 19:10, for the Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which is lost. That means you. That meant me. Thank God. I'm saved, friend, and I'm glad to know it. And you can be saved to know it. Thank God. There is a plan of salvation that's a no-so salvation. You can't have something this good and not know it. Well, I hope this finds you well. I do know that it finds you blessed. I believe Paul, when he was writing to a friend by the name of, John, writing to a friend by the name of Gaius, he said something like this. He said, look, I pray that you would prosper and be in health, even as thy soul prospers. Gaius must have been physically infirmed in some degree or another. I don't know what his problem may have been, but Paul wanted him to know physically what that man who had put his faith in Christ knew spiritually. He knew new things. He knew wondrous things, glorious things, things that would allow him to rejoice in. And I'll tell you, the message that God has laid on my heart today, it's a simple message, but yet it's profound in lots and lots of ways. Looking at the book of 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, I'm going to read the first 9 verses there and share a message with you about, well, it's about good news, and I'll share the text with you in just a little bit. But before I do that, Debbie's got a song she wants to do. The title of it is Saved by His Grace. And by the way, that's the only way that mankind has ever been saved. I don't care whether it was, don't care if there's Adam and Eve in the garden, don't care if there's Noah at the flood, don't care if there was Abraham on or Moses on Sinai or Abraham on Moriah. Thank God. Didn't matter whether it was King David, King Solomon. Didn't matter whether it was Isaiah or Jeremiah, Malachi or Habakkuk. Thank God. It's always been, always will be, it still is, by grace through faith. Well, you enjoy the song. I'll meet you back here in just a moment or two of time in the book of 1 Thessalonians chapter 2. Share with you the message God has laid in my heart. You enjoy this song, won't you? About saved by His grace.
I was standing alone in the darkness. Jesus said, step in the light. He said that I could be justified if by faith I believed. My heart was so heavy, then the burden was lifted. Now free from guilt and shame, that's when I found mercy and grace. I found it in Jesus' name. Grace, grace, that's what I was after. I found grace when I met the Master. He took me in, gave me peace with Him. By grace, no longer do I stand in the darkness, no longer a sinner am I. Freely He gave, so I could be saved, peace and joy now abide. For all have sinned and come short of His glory, by His blood we're redeemed. I realize I've been set free by faith through His grace. Grace, grace, that's what I was after. I found grace when I met the Master. He took me in, gave me peace within. Now I'm saved by grace. Come short of His glory, by His blood we're redeemed. I realize I've been set free by faith through His grace. I have been saved by faith. I am saved. I'm saved by
Debbie, thank you. I like that. Thank God. I'll tell you what, that makes an old Baptist preacher happy. Thank God, thank God, thank God. And by the way, if you don't know it, God's grace is sufficient. Thank God. He's the God of all grace. He's got grace to save you. Bless God. He's got grace to keep you. He's got living grace. He's got dying grace. He's got grace, friend, for me and you. Keeping true, keeping free, like an old song says in the old red hymn book. Thank God for the grace of God. Hey, friend, that's what the gospel is all about. The Bible even speaks of the gospel, the grace of God, and how true that is. In the book of 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, I'm going to begin reading at verse 1, and I'm going to be talking to you about preaching the gospel. That's what Paul was all about in this second chapter of this first epistle that the apostle ever wrote. My, what great epistles these books of 1 and 2 Thessalonians are. My, what great words the apostle Paul, under the inspiration of the Spirit of God, have given unto you and to me. The Bible said, and I want you to listen, I want you to count the number of times the gospel is mentioned or referred to in these 9 verses, just the first 9 verses of this chapter. Paul said, for yourselves, brethren, know our entrance into you, that it was not in vain. You say, how did Paul know that, preacher? Well, there had been a church established there. Thank God. This man of God, who had been saved himself by the grace of God, learned about the gospel of Jesus Christ, went there with that news, the power of the gospel, that good news from a far country, that cool water for a thirsty soul. Thank God a church was established. I mean, to tell you, saw evidence of it. He knew the power of the gospel, and he knew that the gospel we preached had not been in vain, because men and women's life had been changed. He said, but even after that, we had suffered before and were shamefully entreated, as you know, at Philippi. We were bold in our God to speak unto you the gospel of God with much contention. That's the first time you see the gospel mentioned, but go on. He said, for our exhortation was not of deceit, nor of uncleanliness, nor in guile. But as we were allowed of God to be put in trust with the gospel, even so we speak, not as pleasing men, but God, which trieth our heart. Hey, sir, you say you're a man of God. You say you've been called to the ministry. Well, I'll tell you one of the ways to check up yourself, spiritually speaking, if you will. See what your temperature is, and see what, bless God, how things are in your life. Are you preaching to please Sister Susie Q or Brother Duty Doe? I'll tell you, friend, listen, if you're seeking to please those people in the congregation, hey, you need to head back up Sinai, spend enough time with God to where you'll get God's message to the place that you know all your responsibility is to take it back down off the mountain and speak to the people and declare, thus saith the Lord. Thank God, listen, it's not about pleasing man, but it's about giving man the message that they need. Now, we don't have to be mean and ugly in doing that. That's not what I'm suggesting. But I'm telling you, there's a lot of people in our day of pragmatic churchism, in our day of the emergent church, bless God, they're trying to please anybody and everybody that'll come in their door. I'll tell you what, God set something up a long time ago. He said, if you'll please me, bless God, it'll do the right thing for the people that come. Hey, man, we got to be faithful to the Word of God. Paul wasn't just listening, playing games. I mean, to tell you, Paul's exhortation, there wasn't anything under the table. It wasn't deceitful. But bless God, listen, he gave forth the Word of God unadulterated. He held back nothing of the doctrines of God Almighty. He said, I'm not to shun. I'm declaring to you the whole counsel of God. And that's what we ought to do. We ought to do it in the Spirit for the glory of God, by the grace of God, for the salvation of lost souls and mankind. Paul said, as we're allowed of God, I'm going to read that again, to be put in trust to the gospel, so we speak, not as pleasing men, but God, which trieth the heart. There the gospel is mentioned for the second time. Now, he said, for neither at any time use we flattering words, as you know, nor a cloak of covetousness. And God is my witness. And by the way, bless God, God is witness today. Do you know that? He knows my heart. He knows what I'm saying. He knows the message of anybody and everybody that stands in a pulpit that declares the word Word of God, He knows. He said, now listen. He said, not of men sought we glory, neither of you nor yet of others, when we might have been burdensome as the apostles of Christ. But we were general among you as a nurse cherisheth her children, so being affectionately desirous of you. We were willing to have them parted unto you. Now watch this, not the gospel of God only, there it is again, not the gospel of God only, but also of our own souls. I believe it's implied there, the word gospel gam. I thank God. Paul said, listen, that gospel of God, that good news that originated with God the Father in heaven a long time ago, that good news, bless God, that Jesus carried out when He died at Calvary, was hung between the heaven and the earth, was buried in a borrowed tomb, and on the third and appointed morning came out from among the dead, ascended after 40 days of appearing to those who were His disciples, back to the Father, where He sat down on the right hand of the Majesty on high, so that He could be the intercessor for me and you. Thank God, I'll tell you, Paul said, listen, it was the gospel of God in origination. It was the gospel of Jesus Christ. The Word of God calls it in other places simply because, bless God, it was purchased by Him. And it's the gospel, bless God, listen, that the Spirit of God administers to the soul of sinners like me and you. And Paul said, listen, it was the gospel of God. And when I heard it, when I saw the Christ of it, thank God I submitted to it and I've made it my own. He said, for you remember, brethren, our labor and travail. For laboring night and day, because we would not be chargeable into any of you, we preached unto you the gospel of God. I'm going to talk to you for the remaining few minutes I've got today about preaching the gospel. Thank God, thank God, thank God. I'll tell you, listen, it was the message that that Paul used to build every church that was built, to start every revival that he was involved in. I mean to tell you, Paul knew that it was the gospel of Jesus Christ, the power of God in that message of the death, burial, the resurrection of Jesus Christ. He knew it had power in it to change a man, woman, boy, or girl's eternity. I'll tell you, I like that. I find it five times here in the first nine verses of this second letter that Paul wrote to the church of Thessalonica. I believe with all of my heart it was the thrust and theme of Paul's ministry. I believe it was because he knew that it not only possessed the power of God, but that it was the power of God. And when Paul went to the church down at Corinth, you know what he said? He said in chapter 2, verse 1 and following, I, brethren, when I came to you, came not with excellency of speech or of wisdom, declaring to you the testimony of God. For I determined to know not to know anything among you save Jesus Christ and Him crucified. He said, I was with you in weakness and in fear and much trembling. My speech and my preaching was not with enticing words of men's wisdom, but in power and demonstration of the Spirit and of power, that your faith should not stand in the wisdom of man, but in the power of God. Thank God. Listen, I'll tell you, Paul knew that the message of the gospel would work at Thessalonica. It would work at a place called Corinth. It'll work in a town called Dunbar, a city by the name of Charleston, a state known as West Virginia, in a nation called America, and it'll work around the world, in your town, in my town, in their task. All we got to do is proclaim it. Thank God, with the inspiration of the Spirit of God. Paul said, my God, my preaching came not to you enticing words of men's wisdom, but in the power and the demonstration of the Spirit of God. Paul said, listen to what he said over here in the book of 2 Thessalonians chapter 1, I believe it is. Whether it's there or not. No, right here it's in chapter 1, verse 5. He said, our gospel came not unto you in word only, but in power and in the Holy Ghost and in much assurance. Thank God, the gospel, listen, has inherent power within us. Thank God, it's the message of God. It's not the message of man, but it's the message of God for man. And it'll change you, friend, thank God, for all of eternity. Do you know it's the message of hope and deliverance? In fact, it's the only message of hope and deliverance. Listen, it's good news. It's good news to any and all. So I want you to think with me quickly. My time goes by so quick when I'm preaching on this program. Listen, the gospel that Paul preached, it was his main theme of the gospel. I remember an old man. My, what a fine man he was. He went across the sea with my grandfather, S.D. Gerald, in World War II. And he told me, man, Harlan, I called him my Solomon of the modern day. Got me aside one day and he said, son, he said, I'm not a preacher. He said, I don't claim to be. He said, I don't claim to be very wise and I'm not trying to tell you what to do. But he said, I've learned a few things in life. And he said, I'll tell you what. He said, if you preach him, it doesn't start at Calvary or doesn't end at Calvary. He said, you've not done any preaching. Well, I'll have to say glory to God about that and amen. Hey, friend, Paul was unapologetic for the message he preached. It was Paul, listen. It was Paul's focus. Bless God for his work and ministry. And thank God it constrained him in his living. The book of 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 14. Paul said this. He said, why, it's the love of Christ that constraineth me. He goes on to say, because we judge that if one died for all, then we're all damned. And that he died for all, that they which live should not henceforth live unto themselves, but unto him which died for them and rose again. Thank God. Listen, Paul's main theme of his preaching was the gospel of Jesus Christ. He said in the book of 1 Corinthians chapter 3 verse 10, as a wise master builder, I've laid the foundation, and let every man take heed how he buildeth thereon. And you know what that foundation was? Thank God it was the death, burial, and the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Well, let's go on. Not only was Paul's main theme the gospel, but thank God, listen, Paul's passion was the gospel. Oh, he was willing to do whatever necessary, thank God, to proclaim the gospel of Jesus Christ right here in verse 9 in this letter that I read to you from in your hearing. He said this. He said to those at Thessalonica, for we, ye remember, brethren, our labor and travail. For laboring night and day, said, because we would not be chargeable to any of you. Paul was a tent maker. And Paul was saying this. He said, listen, I work like crazy in the day just so I could preach the gospel to you at night. I made tents and it was laborious work. There wasn't anything easy about that task. Cutting it straight, thank God, and sewing it together. And Paul said, listen, my great passion is to preach the Word of God. His message had been given to him by God. And I refer you back to verse 4 again. He said, I didn't receive it of man, but thank God I got it by revelation of Jesus Christ. I'll tell you why. Thank God it wasn't just God's gospel. And although it originated with him, thank God after Paul met Jesus, that man that stood across that Damascus road, shine, listen, his light in the eyes and the heart of the Apostle Paul, spiritually speaking. And he said, hey, Saul's it hard for thee to kick against the pricks? I'll tell you, listen, that message of a crucified, resurrected, living Savior changed the Apostle Paul. And he said, listen, it's not only God's gospel. Thank God it's my gospel now. It's my good news. It's a way, listen, it's a way that changes the life of mankind. 2 Corinthians 5. 17 says this, if any man be in Christ Jesus, he is a new creature. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things become new. Paul knew that firsthand. But it was not only Paul's passion. Paul had a passion for the gospel. Paul preached it, listen, with an urgency. Oh, I want you to listen, sir. I want you to listen, ma'am. Oh, the need of every man, woman, boy, or girl. Listen to this old preacher today. The need of every individual, thank God, is to be saved. You need to be delivered from sin. Need to be delivered from sin's penalty, from sin's power. And thank God one day, by the grace of God, you can be delivered from sin's present. Hey, Paul sensed an urgency in this. I'm telling you, it motivated his heart. I'm telling you, he knew men would either be lost or saved for eternity. And listen to what he said in the book of 2 Corinthians 6. to. He said, now is the accepted time. Behold, now is the day of salvation. Listen, sir, ma'am, all you've got is now. Quit saying, I'll get saved sometime. I intend to get saved. Hey, make this your day, a day of salvation. Act like it means, listen, your life or death. Act like it means, bless God, your eternity in heaven or hell. And it does, friend, I'll tell you. This message of the gospel is a divine message, has divine authority attached to it. Paul said to the Romans, he said, I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. He said in the book 1 Corinthians 1:18, Paul said, the preacher of the gospel to them that perish is foolishness, but unto us that are saved is the power of God unto salvation. I'm telling you, sir, I'm telling you, ma'am, the message of the gospel that I'm preaching today, it demands soberness of mind from you and from me. It demands me to be sober in my thinking and in my speaking, but oh, sir, oh, ma'am, it demands that you be sober in your listening and in your thinking. You say, why, preacher? Let me tell you quickly, let me tell you simply, let me tell you emphatically, your eternity is at stake. What you do with Jesus in this life determines what He'll do with you in the next. Thank God, I'll tell you, Moses set before the children of Israel a long time ago in the book of Deuteronomy, life and death, and he said, choose life that both thou and thy children might live. Listen, friend, the soul of man is affected by the preaching of the gospel. And finally, Paul, listen, Paul understood the single of the message. Oh, you say, what do you mean, preacher? Well, he said in John 14:6, Jesus did. I am the way, the truth, and the life. He didn't say, I'm one among many. He didn't say, I am a way. He said, I am the door. John 10:9, he said, I am the door. Thank God. If any man come or enter in by me, he should go in and out and find pasture. Hey, there's not a lot of ways to heaven. There's only one. That may surprise Muhammad, may make Buddha sad, it may confuse Confucius. It may do something to Yin and Yang and Zoroaster and all those other guys, but Jesus is the only one that died for the sinner, died as the sinner. He's the only one that went in a grave and came out, thank God, victorious on the other side. I'm telling you, Paul understood the power of the gospel, that it had the power to convict men of their sins, convince them that Jesus was the Savior, and do a work of conversion that nothing else could do. I'm telling you, Paul knew it because he had a first-hand experience right there on the road to Damascus, thank God, with writings of arrest in his pocket, with privilege from the Sanhedrin to go and arrest any of those and all of those that were in the way. And while he was on the way, thank God Christ got in his way, began to speak to him. And I'm going to tell you something. It was only a resurrected Savior, thank God, that could have gotten in the way of Paul to change his life, his heart, his desire, and his destiny. And I'm going to tell you something, sir or ma'am. It's the only thing that will get in your way. It won't be the name over a church door. It won't be a favorite preacher of yours unless he's proclaiming to you the gospel of Jesus Christ. And all he is the messenger boy. All he is the conduit. Thank God it's not him, the message he preaches, if he preaches unto you a grace by faith through Jesus Christ that died for our sins, that was buried in a borrowed tomb, and that came out from the dead on the third and appointed morning. Paul said in the book of 1 Timothy 1:15, in essence, bless God, if God could save me through Christ, He can save you. Paul said, I was chief among sinners. Paul said, Christ saved me as a pattern for those that would follow after. Hey, I'm going to tell you something, friend. You can be saved if you want to, but I'm afraid we're living in an age like my spiritual mentor warned me that I would probably live to see. He said something like this. He said, son, listen. He said, the gospel is the power of God unto salvation. Always has been, always will be. But he said, I'll tell you what I'm afraid you're going to do, Tom. He said, I'm afraid that you're going to live long enough to see a generation come by that will lose its ability to have the gospel to affect them. I'm afraid, bless God, we've arrived at that place. What a message that man gave. Hey, sir, listen. Hey, ma'am, listen. If you're under conviction today, if you're afraid to die, if you know that you have to stand before God in judgment, give an account of your life, and you're not ready, won't you run to Jesus? Won't you call out on Him like Peter did and say, Lord, save me? Why don't you say, oh God, I'm a sinner. I repent of my sin right now, and the best I know how, I receive Christ as my Savior. Oh, God, save me for Christ's sake. You know what God will do? God will save you, man. Man, God will save you, give you new life, depart a divine nature in you, make you a new creature, create you brand new, thank God. Record your name in the Lamb's Book of Life. Put the Spirit of God in your heart and seal you that bless God. You're on your way to heaven. Call on Him right now, would you? Hey, I'm talking about preaching the gospel. The good news, that's what I brought to you today. And it can be really good news if you just accept it by faith. Hey, look, now is the time. Trust Him. It's urgent that you do. Your eternity is depending on it.
You are my Savior.
Until the next time.
Thank you, friend, for listening to Inspirational Truths today. It is our prayer that the message and the song has been a blessing to your soul and has in some way ministered to your heart. We hope that you will make plans to join us every week at the same time. If you have a special request that you would like us to know about, please feel free to write us and we will be sure to pray about your request, whatever it is. If you'd like to contact us, our address is Inspirational Truths, P.O. Box 10004, Charleston, West Virginia, 25357. That's Inspirational Truths, P.O. Box 10004, Charleston, West Virginia, 25357. We're on the web at TomAndDebbie@inspirationaltruths.com. That's Tom and Debbie at inspirationaltruths.com. Remember, friend, this is a work of faith. We need both your prayers and your listening ears. Now, until the next time, it is our prayer that God will richly bless both you and yours.